Hey, what's going on, everybody? You listen to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname, always a lot to say with no shame. Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Segling here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. I got some company coming through today as well. My guy, Rich Hot Takes Letty, NBA Phenom. We got some NBA to get into as the NBA trade deadline is upon us. March Madness, Sweet 16 is set for the men's bracket. Some stuff to get into there. And I got to touch on NFL free agency, specifically the New York Football Giants. Picking up, obviously, Kenny Galladay this past week, but Adoree Jackson yesterday. Also picking up another linebacker from the Washington Football Team. Ryan Anderson today, I believe, is his name. So a lot of moves that the Giants are making. A lot of good stuff as a Giants fan, sports talk guy. Looking forward to this upcoming season as I really think the Giants are going to compete for this division. And obviously the sports world is popping off elsewhere with NBA, NBA trade deadline, March Madness, news across other sports platforms. I'm looking forward to catching up on the sports world a little bit today. I've been trying to just basically catch up on it as there's been so much going on in the world of sports. And Rich will be swinging by here in about a half hour to do so. Looking forward to that as always. As always, appreciate all love and support for the podcast. Follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page at Seggy Station. Also got a live version up to follow along as well on my Twitch stream of the podcast. You can find it there. It's _Seggy_G. And I do have the podcast out on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcast, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Podbean, the original podcast site. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Definitely going to have to start with the New York Football Giants. Been really a good past couple days for me in terms of watching some of the moves that my team's been making. And obviously it started with Kenny Galladay. I think the prime wide receiver free agent in which the Giants land him, getting him for a 4-year deal, $40 million guaranteed. And obviously now he wants to be in New York and talked about it a little bit yesterday. It's up to Daniel Jones. All eyes on Daniel Jones with Barkley, Galladay, Shepard, Slayton, Ingram, bringing in Kyle Rudolph, bringing in John Ross III, having the 11th pick, and who knows what we're going to do with that. But our defense was underrated. And bringing in Adoree Jackson, getting him to come in to the New York Football Giants and adding him to that secondary, in my opinion, is going to be lethal. I think we got a top five secondary in the NFL. Our defense last year was underrated, but in my opinion, our defense is the only reason we won six games. Now you're bulking up the offense, bulking up the defense, adding to a defense that already has some talent. And Giants offseason thus far, extended D-line Leonard Williams, signed wide receiver Kenny Galladay, signed quarterback cornerback Adoree Jackson, signed tight end Kyle Rudolph, signed wide receiver John Ross, signed linebacker Reggie Ragland, signed DN Afita Adingabu, signed running back Devontae Booker, have number 11 overall pick, and I did just see this morning that we picked up another Washington Football Team linebacker, outside linebacker, agreeing to terms with the New York Football Giants and Ryan Anderson. Adding to the list of moves we made, throwing out obviously a lot of money, a lot of people saying, oh, we're overpaying. We're not. It's worth it because we need to see what we're going to get out of Daniel Jones with now bringing in weapons, things I've talked about plenty of times. We're bulking up a defense that was underrated and I think is going to be a top five defense now going out and acquiring Adoree Jackson, which a lot of people talked about. New York Giants reporters was going to be a 1-year, $6.5 million deal. Now 3 years, $39 million. Signing bonus of 13.5. Total guarantee of 26.5. 1 year, total of $16 million. The deal is worth up to $44.5 million in sentence. Locking him up for 3 years. Bringing in Adoree Jackson when he had the opportunities to go elsewhere. A lot of reports of him meeting up and potentially with the Eagles. Other teams obviously wanting his services. Nope, he wants to be with the Giants. His former teammate in Logan Ryan. Adding him to that secondary with Logan Ryan at free safety. Xavier McKinney, now second year safety, free safety. Jabril Peppers, the strong safety who can play a little bit more down in the box like he did in college at Michigan. Similar to what we see out of Jamal Adams in Seattle. James Bradberry, in my opinion, Pro Bowler last year, was the third best secondary or the third best corner in the league just behind Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard. You're putting now Adoree Jackson on the other side of that. That's elite. With Blake Martinez, tackling machine at the linebacker position, bringing in a couple other linebackers, signing Leonard Williams, bringing in a guy to replace Dalvin Thompson. This is elite. And I am so pumped up to see where we go from here. But I think this is the most important message. The Giants' defense ranked in points allowed in 2019, 30th, in 2020, 9th. I think we'll be top five in 2021. I think there's no denying what Joe Judge has done and bringing and changing the culture for this team. I think there's no denying and giving credit for the notable signings that I've talked about. 4 years, $72 million, 3 years, $63 million for Leonard Williams, 3 year, $39 million for Adoree Jackson, the first being for Kenny Galladay, I think the highest wanted wide receiver on the market. You got to give credit to Dave Gettleman. You got to give credit to Joe Judge building a better culture and wanting some of these type of players to come there. And Patrick Graham's going to have a field day with his defense now returning. I think this team is going to contend absolutely in the NFC East, which is totally up for grabs, in my opinion. And with the Washington football team putting their eggs in the basket for Ryan Fitzmagic, for Dak Prescott coming off a season-ending injury, and for everything going on in Philly, I think the most stable situation with arguably a top 5-3 offseason around the league for the New York football Giants with a number 11 pick, draft coming up April 29th, all eyes going to be on that, obviously, for NFL fans, but particularly Giants fans that have a chance to really do some damage this upcoming season. Last season, a lot of positive signs. This season, I think we'll see even more positive trends with our team. A lot of great moves this offseason. Definitely had to open up the show with that. Going to touch on some March Madness for Rich, but the Sweet 16 is set. The last men's NCAA tournament that didn't feature Kentucky, UNC, Duke, or Kansas in the Sweet 16 was 1979. Sweet 16 games will be held starting this Saturday. So you got a little bit of a break from March Madness on the men's side. Women's tournament still taking place throughout the week here, catching up the next few days, so you can catch that. To round out the Sweet 16 after Saturday's games, which were much better in terms of the round of 32 than yesterday's. You had a few blowouts yesterday. Kansas gets absolutely blown out. They scored their fewest points in NCAA tournament game since 1985. They get blown out by USC, who is legit, 85-51. It's their third appearance to the Sweet 16, first since 2007. Andy Enfield, Florida Gulf Coast, mentioned them yesterday, back in 2013, making a historic run as a 15 seed to the Sweet 16. Oral Roberts becoming the second team to do that now. USC is now coached by Andy Enfield. The Mobley Bros, 14 feet of the Mobley Bros. They're legit. Looking forward to touching on it with Rich, but I think one of Evan Mobley or potentially Jalen Suggs could go before Cade Cunningham, as we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Michigan makes it to the Sweet 16. Florida State, they have really low scoring and then pop offs. 71-53 over Colorado, I saw a mass shooting out in Boulder, Colorado at a grocery store after the mass shooting in Atlanta the previous week. Not great for the sports news coming out of that. You got to give it out to Leonard Hamilton, who ruptured his Achilles getting off the bus before the round of 64 games, and he's out there limping around with a walking boot. Michigan, who was down at the half, as I mentioned, they make it to the Sweet 16, 86-78 over LSU. Bama blitzes the Terps. They pull away big. Kansas, as I mentioned, gets blown out. Creighton over Ohio, 72-58. UCLA over Albany Christian, who was another Cinderella story, 67-47. And the Zags improved to 28-0. They shot 49.1% as a team, which was their worst field goal percentage of the season, and they beat Oklahoma 87-71. They were 23-26 from the free throw line. They advanced to the Sweet 16 for the sixth straight tournament. Zags, the perennial favorite right now, not only by the odds makers, but by, I would assume, a lot of people that have them left in their bracket. My bracket absolutely busted up. Rich is going to help me getting an update here with the bracket challenge. And obviously March Madness has been elite. Looking forward to touching on a few of the Sweet 16 matchups and catching up on the bracket talk here with Rich when he joins. But definitely been good out of the NCAA tournament. Mentioned a little bit of UNC and Kentucky and Duke and all that. Kansas getting knocked out. Roy Williams is 29-0. 15-0 as head coach of first round of the tournament at UNC. They got bounced in the first round. There's been a lot of good NCAA basketball being played, not only on the men's side, but the women's side as well. And it's a great time of year to be catching up on your bracket, college hoops, or just enjoying that the fact that it's back, obviously not having it last year with the pandemic and things still being an issue with that. Touch on the Giants, touch on March Madness quick. Looking forward to touching up on some NBA with Rich. Did need to shout out some stuff on the PGA Tour real quick before I take my quick break, and then hopefully Rich is here, which is... mentioned Justin Thomas when he won the Players. He joined Tiger Woods as a major winner, Players Championship, and 10-plus wins before the age of 28. So I'd correct myself on a stat that I read on here that was technically wrong. Justin Thomas wins 2015 CIMB Classic, 2016 CIMB Classic, 2017 Century Tournament of Champions, 2017 Sony Open Hawaii, 2017 PGA Championship, 2017 Dell Technologies Championship, 2017 CJ Cup and 9 Bridges, 2018 Honda Classic, 2018 WGC, FedEx St. Jude Invitational, 2019 BMW Championship, 2019 CJ Cup, 2020 Century Tournament, 2020 WGC again, and 2021 Players Champion. Justin Thomas is elite. He had made it up into the talks, obviously, for his inappropriate language up on the green, picked up by Mike, but you can go back and listen to my take on that. Good to see Justin Thomas getting up into the ranks with, obviously, the greatest golfer of all time. Saw an interesting stat. Matt Jones picked up the win this week at the Honda Classic, 12-under. There were zero birdies on number 16 in round 3. It's the first time in 59 tournament rounds that the 16th hole did not yield a birdie or better in a round at PGA National during the Honda Classic since 2007. Absolutely a wild stat there, as normally these guys going through the course, one of them in the field, is bound to make a birdie somewhere. Crazy stat to mention there. Looking forward to the Masters coming up for sure. You got a few other good golf tournaments. But obviously the golf business up here in the Northeast is opening up. You're going to see, obviously, with the warmer weather, a lot more people outside trying to golf, trying to get outside. Golf season back up and going here for 2021 up in Connecticut, Northeast, basically everywhere. Excited for that. Excited for getting back out on the golf course, working on my game, teaching the game of golf, and most importantly, seeing and providing all my services to where I work. Just happy that it'll be, I think, a little bit less tough for me heading back to last season and just how I felt about everything with the COVID and dealing with that, with trying to see my neighbor and my grandma and not giving it to my brother. I mean, just all the things that were going around for me. Just happy that it's finally warming up because I've just been fucking cold, like literally. Like, I'm just so sick of the cold. Looking forward to not being able to have to wear sweats and a hoodie all the time. And just getting back out in the yard with my dog and not having to watch her from inside the house will be legit for me. Just looking forward to the golf season, looking forward to the Masters and everything that the golf provides for a guy like me. It's my career. I make a living off it. And looking forward to linking up with a couple people, hopefully doing some golfing this year. I've got a few people on my list for sure, and I know we'll be able to do that. Let's see. Guess I'll take my quick break now because I got some reads and Rich should hopefully be here at noon. So I'll do that, get through those reads. Me and Rich hopefully chop it up here for a little bit. Be right back in the Sega Station. Hey! What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. The Sega Station is brought up by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Got her out for a nice walk this morning. Shelter rescue, mutt. To many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing but much true home happiness in a household. Better love and companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine. At your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Mentioned Paige Beckers the other day, 24 points, 101-59 victory over High Point without Gino. Middle of celebrating woman, and we saw the discrepancy in the weight rooms. Had a problem with that, as Mark Emmert says he's going to address the situation in the blunders of facility discrepancies. Six more lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson, including one alleged sexual assault back in March 2021. Not looking good for Deshaun Watson. We'll wait and see how that bears out in court. Rockets down the Raptors, ending a losing streak of 20 games. Last night, John Wall dropped his first triple-double since 2016, 19-11-10, 117-99. They get the victory. Stephen A. Smith had something to say about Steven Silas and the Rockets' 20-game losing streak. Looking forward to touching on that with Rich here in a second. Talked about the New York Jets yesterday reaching a two-year deal with former number one round pick Sheldon Rankins. Talked about Miami Beach declaring a state of emergency and curfew as spring break. As also Dr. Fauci warns that the current phase of the pandemic is, quote, not a good place to be. This is also not a good place to be for this Chicago Cubs prospect who was busted at spring training with 21 pounds of meth. Brooks Koepka, not a good place to be as well, as his status for the Masters is in doubt. Brooks told Golf Week that he had surgery on his right knee back on March 16th. The LA Rams agreed to a deal with Deshaun Jackson, who ranks number one in yards per catch in the NFL. Deep threat for Matthew Stafford. Matt Jones wins the Honda Classic minus 12 by 5 strokes over Brandon Hagee for his second career PGA Tour victory. Krispy Kreme is giving away a free donut every day for the rest of the year to people who have gotten vaccinated. That's important news. Touched on Blake Griffin dunking the basketball yesterday. That drought is now over. 464 days in which it took Blake Griffin to dunk a basketball. Yusuf Nurkic got his vaccine today. The NBA, NBAPA have agreed to new protocols for individuals with the COVID-19 vaccination. Among new protocols, say you can leave the hotel room at any time, eat at outdoor restaurants, interact with any other person at your home, be with four guests on the road without prior testing, and no masks are mandatory at the practice facility. Chargers are expected to make Corey Lindsey, former Packers center, the NFL's highest paid center. Mel's latest mock draft 3.0 is out, a little over 5 weeks away from the NFL draft. The NFL also is planning a large live in-person draft in Cleveland. Mask wearing, social distancing, and capacity limits will still all be enforced. Finally, the Rams and Lions make another trade. Lions receive D tackle Michael Brockers in exchange for a 2023 seventh round pick. That's all the updates for today. Rich should be here in a moment. Take my quick break. Should be fire.
How you doing?
How you doing, brother?
Good. How about you?
Pretty good. You enjoying the games last night? I thought the games on Saturday for March Madness were much better than yesterday. A couple blowouts yesterday. Sweet 16 set, but what's good?
Games are good yesterday. I was happy with them at least. It was my first like good looking stuff in my bracket because I had USC winning over Kansas, had Creighton get into the Sweet 16, so I actually bounced back a little bit. So I was cool with them. Some good games. It's a I don't know, man. I've said it the last two times I've been on, just a great time of year. I feel like I'm watching less NBA, but there's still NBA games on when college games are blowouts and stuff like that. So just always something on to watch. It was still decent games. I was happy to see UCLA win, even though that was a blowout. Creighton won in a blowout. Florida State won in a blowout. Alabama won in a blowout. Yep. USC beat Kansas in a blowout. It was a lot of blowouts. There wasn't. I'm trying to even look through. I guess the closest game was LSU-Michigan. That was actually a great game, LSU versus Michigan.
Yeah, it was. So here's the thing in that game, though. Officials called 20 fouls in 16 minutes. That's a good topic where I see like a lot more foul calls in the college basketball for sure than the NBA. That's one of the things I dislike. But I did want to throw you on the spot after you give me the update for the bracket because, honestly, I haven't looked because my shit's so bad. I paid TY this morning for the bracket in which I got into his. Not doing good, I don't think, in that. I think I'm doing slightly okay in Carl's thing that I entered, but I don't even know enough about it. I think I'm beat. So what's good? You said you got a shot somehow to come back in that?
Yeah, so I was looking in my league with Ty and some of my buddies from school. I got a decent chance just because there's less people in that, so less people picked Gonzaga. I picked Gonzaga in both, or I used the same bracket for both. Probably not the best move since everyone picked Gonzaga, but I have a decent pass. It's going to sound like four crazy things that I'm going to list off, but they're really not that crazy. So I need, first off, Gonzaga to win it all. This is to win in your bigger league with more people. Gonzaga to win it all. I need Arkansas to make it to the Final Four. As far as I've seen, I am the only one with Gonzaga winning it all. That's Arkansas in the Final Four. I need Alabama not to make the Final Four because a bunch of people have Alabama in the Final Four that also have Gonzaga winning. And I also need Houston not to make the finals because your boy Musty has Houston and Gonzaga in the finals. So that'll knock me out if that happens. So I need Arkansas in the Final Four, Gonzaga to win, and Alabama and Houston to lose. And it's all possible stuff, and that would make me win. I mean, hey, it's a kind of a long shot, but I thought I was out in the first few days. But it's easy to think you're out in the brackets because each round is worth double the points of the round before. So you can look like shit and you get a few right in the next round that people get wrong and you're back in it. So we'll see. Definitely got a shot.
Yeah, I don't. Brackets are fun. I like college hoops. I like how the Sweet 16 is kind of set up with some Cinderella stories. You got Oral Roberts, Oregon State, Loyola Chicago, Syracuse, UCLA. I mean, you got a ton of double-digit seeds. Got a couple number ones still in there. Baylor, Michigan, Gonzaga. They're undefeated, by the way, 28-0, trying to do something that hasn't been done since 1976. So, yeah, there's a lot of incredible storylines in March Madness. But I do need to ask you this, Rich, put you on the spot real quick. Because I've been meaning to talk about this, and I guess I'll go through mine first. The bell's going to go off, but I do need to get yours. Just like three things that you like most about March Madness. We talked about describing our bracket in one word yesterday. This is my topic on it today. I dislike the foul calls for sure, so I already said that. But the three things that I like the most are, number one, the unfiltered reactions. Like, you got dudes that are, like, the best on their team, the best that are going to be NBA players that are crying. On the other side of the court, you got dudes that are literally jumping up on the thing, the stands, going nuts. It's crazy, the disparity in reactions, and obviously seeing these guys react real time to, in my opinion, the craziest tournament because it's one and done. That's the other part of me. Like, number two, one and done, bro. Like, you got to execute at the highest level, free throws, defense, all the things that I love about basketball, full court press, hitting your free throws, making threes, executing with great coaching. All that stuff matters in the NCAA tournament, and that's my second thing. My third thing would be watching, especially the first, obviously, round of 64 and 32. Like, I literally watch a game, even yesterday where I said the games weren't even good. I'll watch a game, literally watch it. All those things I just mentioned, one and done scenario, crunch time, best parts of the madness. It's March. Right when I'm done, I'll hit into my TBS or CBS, flip right to another game. Like literally a game that's either in the second half or just starting out. Like you just have constant games flowing through for an NBA, for basketball. It's the same thing to me because some of these guys go to the NBA, not all of them, but it's competitive basketball at a really high level with everything on the line trying to win a championship. Bro, there's nothing better. That's why you're falling back a little bit on the NBA because this is going on. But I was watching a little bit more NBA last night. I've been selling on DraftKings and Overlay, but we'll get into that in a second. Just want to get your quick three favorite things you love most about March Madness.
Number one, desperation. I mean, most of these dudes in the NBA, you got desperation and guys playing for a job, but the guys playing for a job in the NBA aren't the best players. So they can play like with all their heart, but they're just not as good as the other guys. In college, you got maybe the best dude on the team who's a senior but isn't going to make it at the next level, that's maybe playing like the last like huge big game of basketball of his whole life. So these guys are all just playing for like one more game, like seniors. Guys going to the NBA just playing for like one more game for their college. So kind of the desperation there, like every game matters so much. Kind of the same as like the one and done or the one and done type tournament style they have there. Number two would probably be like the betting interest from fans, and not betting, but it's almost like you have a bet on every single game without having it, just from having your brackets. Like you could be someone like myself, like I don't know, maybe you to a lesser extent, but like I don't watch much college basketball the entire year. But you're like on the edge of your seat watching each one of these games because you got your bracket. You're like, oh damn, I'm going to see some of these guys in the NBA, stuff like that. So it's just every fan's engaged. Like Lisa, my girlfriend, who watches no college basketball every year, watching like almost every single one of the games just because it's like, oh shit, I have this team winning, I have this team winning, I need this team to win. So it's kind of like makes every fan interested just from the just from having the brackets there. And honestly, it's like the level of excitement that, like you kind of hit on it too, the announcers and that the fans bring. And it's not a knock on NBA announcers, NFL announcers or something or anything like that. I think it really just is more to do with it being a one and done tournament and each game meaning so much. But you could turn on one of these games in a blowout. I don't know if they have fake fan noise coming in or it's the real fan noise or a combination of both, but like there's just energy there, the announcers, the kids on the side of the court, the kids on the court, like you're saying, like it's just like an exciting environment. Like it kind of goes along with everything I was saying there, right there. Like dudes are just playing like for one more game of their season, one more game of their college career, and it's an environment you can't really mimic in a pro setting as good as pro sports are.
Yeah, so I just got a couple quick shout outs here for the NCAA tournament before we switch to the NBA, which is Sister Jean, bro. The 101-year-old fan of Loyola Chicago, we all know about her. She said, "We asked for special help to overcome this team and get a great win. This team makes about 50% of its layups and shoots 30% from 3-point. Our defense can take care of that. You go look at the stat line. Illinois got beat 71-58 and shot 29% from 3, 4-14. incredible stuff by Sister Jean. Great story. Jean. It's the other thing with March Madness, dude. So many good stories. You got, you know, Gonzaga trying to go undefeated. You got Jim Boeheim and Buddy Boeheim with 20 appearances to the Sweet 16, second coach to ever do that. You got no Duke, Kentucky, UNC, or Kansas in the Sweet 16, first time since 1970, whatever it is, six. I already had the stat on it. Just wild stuff. And I just need to tell you this real quick, too, which is we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Cade Cunningham, I think he'll be a top three pick. But the guy from Gonzaga, Jarrell Suggs, is that I think his name? I think he has a potential to go. And I think Evan Mobley has a potential to go before Cade Cunningham. Who I still think will be a top three pick. Also wanted to mention this because I forgot about this aspect yesterday and was thinking about this last night where I think they're calling it the G League, but then I heard Seth Greenberg this morning on KJZ call it like the NBA Association. I don't even know what it really is called, but like where Jalen Green is at. Like he can get drafted number one overall, right? Like Jalen Green, the guys that opted out of college and went to get paid. I've covered it a little bit.
Yeah.
Those guys, in my opinion, because this is going to be a weak draft, bro. Heard a lot of people talking about it, just watching the tournament, and I love the tournament. Not really a lot of guys that I'm seeing are like, damn, bro, this dude's going to be unreal in the NBA. Guys like Zion, guys like Ja, guys like popping off the screen, popping out of their shoes. There's a lot of like
role player guys that can shoot. I think Buddy Bayheim has a great role in the NBA. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. I think some of these guys that you don't really know about that I've talked over last pod with you, but I'm talking about the whole aspect of the draft. Where are these guys going to come from? Overseas, that G League association. Like, you know what I'm saying? Cade Cunningham might go number one. The top 10, 20 are always high, like we talked about. But after that, seems to be a weak draft.
Yeah, so right now the top five like projected guys is Cade Cunningham, number one, Evan Mobley for USC, number two, Jalen Suggs for Gonzaga, number three, Jalen Green from the G League, number four, Jonathan Kuminga, also from the G League, number four. Some other guys that are still in the tournament, actually number six and seven guys are still in the tournament. Scotty Barnes from Florida, power forward,
yep.
Forward. Moses Moody from Arkansas,
yep.
Their shooting guard. Just trying to scroll through here. Book Knight's at 11. He's out. Corey Kispert, the small forward from Gonzaga. He's actually the number 12 prospect right now. Who else is even left? And not many teams left.
Not
here.
Great,
yeah.
Though, right?
Michigan's Franz Wagner. His brother's already in the NBA. Projected number 22.
Yeah, and just real quick.
The guys out.
And just real quick, the guy named D. Mitchell wearing number 45, no relation to Donnie Mitchell.
Davion Mitchell?
Yeah, Davion Mitchell for Baylor. Is he going to be an NBA player? What's the deal with that?
He's projected 23rd pick in the draft.
All right. Because I thought that was funny, because I honestly thought he was related to him. Like, I think I saw that he wasn't related to him and then saw him again. And I'm like, yo, this dude wears 45 and his last name is Mitchell. Like, how is he not related to him? But he's not. He's technically not. All right, I guess that covers all the March Madness I had. So I do want to switch to some NBA since you're my NBA guy. So Rockets won last night, bro. They snapped it last night. They were on a 20-game losing streak, which, by the way, I posted a video of us talking about it and was listening to the pod yesterday, and you kept calling it a 20-game win streak. I don't know what you were on yesterday. Yeah, go back and listen to it, and I just never said anything to you. You just said it, like, four times in a row. You're like, yeah, the longest winning streak is 28 games, and I'm like, what, bro? And then you're like, yeah, the Rockets are on a 20-game winning streak, and I'm like, nah, bro, they're on a 20-game losing streak. You got to go listen to the video. It's actually hilarious. It's the one I posted on Instagram, though. It's hilarious. Anyways, they won last night. I saw Stephen A. talking about it with Steven Silas. I don't know if you saw anything about Stephen A. Basically, just a sad state of affairs. I saw Steven Silas's interview. Basically, he's like about crying up there. I do kind of get it. I know Stephen A. brings the race card into it, and I don't necessarily agree with that, because Steve Nash getting an opportunity with that for his first head coach. Like, Stephen A. always used the same fucking examples, and I'm a fan of Stephen A., but I'm not really a fan of that take. I do feel bad for Steven Silas, though, because here is a guy that waited, what, 20 years to get a head coaching job, and he gets thrown into that dumpster fire in which, what, he gets fired in a year or two? Like, in which Stephen A. is probably going to pop off? Like, Steven Silas seems like a pretty good coach to me. Like, the fact that John Wall got his first triple-double since 2016 last night, John Wall's been balling out in some games. Like, he's just not playing enough alongside Victor Oladipo, like you mentioned. They're sitting out back-to-backs. Christian Wood being out half the season, like you mentioned. Like, is that make Steven Silas a bad coach after you lose James Harden, literally your superstar player, because he sat out? Like, I don't know. Like, does Steven Silas get fired in a year or two if they don't turn it around? Probably. But does he deserve to? Probably not, considering the circumstances and how bad things have been for the Rockets. Like, do you get where I'm coming from here? I don't know if you listen to Stephen A., but I'm trying to figure out where the Rockets are at, because now the trade deadline, obviously, we're going to talk about here in a minute, coming up in a couple days. Like, are they going to move Oladipo? I think he's one of the guys to keep an eye on. And if they start moving pieces off and all these picks they have, like, they're hoping to get a guy, tank down, get cut, get one of the guys we just came off the segment talking about, right?
I think his job's going to be safe for a bit. They knew what they were doing. They were cutting the roster down. John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins are pieces you bring in when you don't really know what direction you're going. Neither of them are win now pieces, and neither of them are tank right now pieces. They let DeMarcus Cousins go. They lost Christian Wood. They brought in Victor Oladipo. They're kind of in no man's land. They don't know what they're doing. They've had all their stars missing in different games. I saw Christian Wood after the game say, like, we believe in Steven Silas. He's the reason I came to Houston. And John Wall being like, we all believe in him. He's got the locker room. Like, we all trust him. He's that guy for us. So, like, I think his job is safe. I just think he was kind of thrust into an unfortunate situation. It would be kind of bullshit if he was fired this year, but I don't think that's happening at all. I will say, I was going to say it yesterday, and we kind of transitioned on. Not you in particular, but you said it a little. A lot of people in the media were doing it. Like, right when James Harden got traded, it was the, like, oh, the Rockets have this incredible defense now because they had, like, three or four good games on defense. Like, oh, James Harden's gone. Look at the defense. And then everyone's knocking Harden in those four games, and then they lose 20 games in a row, and no one says anything. Like, I know people are able to acknowledge James Harden's great, but the dude just gets knocked so unfairly. People are knocking him because their defense was good. The team's terrible without him, and it's not Steven Silas' fault. They just have no direction right now, like I was saying. Their pieces don't make sense together. John Wall could be a good NBA player somewhere, but he's not going to lead the Rockets to the playoffs.
Fair. But it's just as much as you argue the struggles for Christian Wood not being there on offense, I'd argue the same for them struggling on defense. Yeah. I do want to touch on the MVP stuff we touched on yesterday, though, because I mentioned that I think Dame Lillard is the front runner, but we usually go a little deeper than one, and I usually let you respond, which I didn't really let you. So now that we got a little more time, I do think Dame Lillard should be the front runner, and when I go and I look at who would I slate in after that? I think Chris Paul's second, bro. Chris Paul, I think, is second, straight up. And because of what the Suns are doing, I saw that he reached 10,000 assists all time, which has him as only the sixth player in NBA history to hit that mark. So a massive milestone for Chris Paul. But what he's doing for now, the Suns, having them where they're at in the Western Conference with still some time to go, I think is a good argument up above there, even above Joker. And I guess I'd then have Joker third. So for me, it's hard to argue that being right where you're at the same record with the Blazers and have Joker above Lillard is crazy to me. Like that, I just can't, I'm not going to get off that. Even with Joker's numbers, I go look at Lillard's. He's averaging 38 assists on 40% from three, and like I mentioned, 93 from the free throw line, best crunch time shooter. I mean, carrying the team with guys that were injured for 3-4 weeks, months. So I think that matters when you're looking at the Nuggets that didn't really have any type of injuries, and then all of a sudden you're coming out of the craziness of the bubble with them. I don't know what happened to Rich there. So I know you heard me for at least some of that. Like, I got to have the Blazer, Dame Millard above what the Nuggets are doing. More healthy, not expected to be where they're at in the standings, expected to be higher after what we saw to them last year in the bubble, and they're not. With the Blazers, I think, going to be above them now, getting back healthy, getting some guys back, McCollum mainly, and I think it's only going to help Lillard because he's going to continue to ball out. Like, his numbers ain't going to drop just because McCollum's back. They're just going to be putting more buckets in the basket, yeah, and winning more games. So that's only going to help him. He was able to right the ship while they were gone, and I think that helps his case when you're looking at a full season for MVP. What do you got for a list right now?
It's so we touched on it a little
bit. So you said you had Joker. So then what do you got after that?
Yeah, it's so hard to differentiate Jokic and Lillard. So like, I got Jokic first, Lillard second probably right now. But like, I don't think it's crazy for you to put Lillard first. I don't have much of an argument against it. The good argument for Lillard over Jokic is they're both tied in the standings at 25-17. Blazers have missed CJ Nurkic. Lillard's kept them afloat, basically being the only guy out there. And I think that is a really good argument. It's hard when you watch Jokic out there for me not to say he's the MVP without Embiid and LeBron out there, especially because a lot of both of us, myself, we've been saying he was kind of third behind those two all year. Now those two aren't there. And Lillard's right there, but he's putting up 27 a game this year, 7 points over his next highest throughout his career. 11 assists, 8 rebounds. Like, I think they're going to put it together a little bit more this second half of the season. We'll see. And it's really going to come down to what they do after that. And Chris Paul's a tough one because it's obvious how much better he makes any team he goes to. So I can't say Chris Paul isn't an extremely valuable player, especially when this team's out of the playoffs the last few years. Chris Paul gets there and they have a chance to be, you know, the two seed now with yep. the Lakers down a little bit. They're sitting in the two seed right now.
Yep.
So I don't think that's crazy. I just think looking at the numbers and Giannis's impact on both ends, I can't put Chris Paul over Giannis. Like, again, I don't think it's crazy, but the Bucks are 28-14. The Suns are 28-13. So basically the exact same record. Giannis is a top three player on defense, putting up equally crazy stats to his MVP years. I understand why he's not at the top of the MVP race and that's why I don't have him there. But for me, I'd have Giannis above James Harden, and James Harden would be my next guy after him. I don't know who would be fifth. I think there's a real argument for Chris Paul, but I also think you could argue Donovan Mitchell. You could start arguing maybe even Kawhi Leonard because the Clippers are up there. He's still having a really good year, and that's where it really falls off after that, and I don't know where we're going. But
okay,
but
yeah,
so I guess I could put Chris Paul in that five spot.
Okay, yeah, so let me just – you have Damian Lillard at least your top five, though.
Yeah, I put Lillard too. Jokic, Lillard, Giannis, Harden, and then I didn't even say Luka. I'd probably have Luka. I don't know if I'd have Luka over Chris Paul. Maybe Luka or Chris Paul in that last spot right now because Luka's so far back. But I think at the end of the season, Luka will be higher on that.
All right, let me just give Dame a shout out. He passed our boy J.R. Smith, 15th all time in three pointers made with 1,931. He's creeping up on J.J. Redick, just four behind J.J. Redick. So he could get that tonight. I think they're playing tonight. Damian Lillard's been balling.
They play the Nets without Kyrie Durant and maybe without James Harden.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch a quick stat that I had up on this. Fastest Jazz player to reach 6,000 points. Moses Malone was 271 games. Donnie Mitchell, 262. Like, are we sleeping on the Jazz? They had to stumble a little bit. Like, their first 30 games, they had lost five games. Their next eight games, they lost five games. You know, they did become the first team to win 30 or with 30 wins. Still, I believe the number one seed in the West. But I think they picked up a win last night. Yep, 120-95 over the Bulls. Are the Jazz going to be legit? Donnie Mitchell legit? Or what's good?
I don't think we're sleeping on them. I just don't think there's too much to talk about, honestly. Like, they're a really great NBA team. We're going to have to see if it transfers into the playoffs because it hasn't the last few years. Like, Donovan Mitchell's been able to win them around here and there, but overall their team's success in the regular season hasn't transferred to the playoffs. Like, I think we've gotten to the point, like, I was pretty high on the Jazz coming into the year. Maybe some people weren't as much, but I think we've gotten to the point now where, like, everyone understands that Jazz are an extremely good NBA team, whether it's because of their defense, whether it's because they've all been together for – I don't know, the solid core of the team's been together for the last four and a half years now. I don't know, but they're a really good team. I think it all just comes down to what they do in the playoffs. So I think that's kind of why they're maybe getting slept on or not talked about, but it's just because I don't think there's much to say other than talking about, like, yeah, they're a great team. Let's see if Rudy Gobert gets played off the court in the playoffs. Let's see if Jordan Clarkson's still able to go out there and shoot efficiently in the playoffs. That's what it's really going to come down to.
Yeah, I agree. That was a good take. All right, so I got a couple more things to get into in the NBA. I got a couple things to ask you in the NFL too, real quick before you go. So I know you got to go around one, so I'll be doing this quick. Just to clean this up, so before I get into my last topic in the NBA, I also saw this. Most 50-point games in NBA history. You got Wilt Chamberlain with 118. That's ridiculous. Michael Jordan, 31. Kobe, 25. James Harden, 23. Elgin Baylor, 17, who we just covered yesterday, passing away. Rick Barry, 14. LeBron with 12. Damian Lillard with 12. So, just want to know how many 50 burgers you think Damian Lillard can get up into that conversation? Maybe in that Kobe MJ. That's a good one there. Saw Harden become the fourth player in NBA history with 140-point games. James Harden has 100. Kobe has 122, MJ 173, Wilt Chamberlain 271. Bro, Wilt Chamberlain, like, you go look at some of the craziest NBA stats that I just read two of. Wilt Chamberlain has him by double. Like, it's absolutely insane, Wilt Chamberlain's stats. So just a couple fun ones I needed to throw in there and let you think about. Also, that Knicks Nets game that we talked about, remember? It was like a week or so back. The Knicks had a tough Julius Randle call, knocked away by Kyrie. The last 20 seconds of that NBA game took 15 minutes of real time, Rich, and they still got the biggest call wrong. Talked about it plenty of times with you about getting your challenge back. That, to me, was the best example we've seen in the NBA all time. Unless you respond to any of that.
The same thing happened, not the same thing, but a very similar thing happened to them, two nights ago against the 76ers without Embiid. Like, I was texting you guys in the chat. Julius Randle hit like an absurd three to tie up the game. And I'm going to forget the exact logistics of it, but they got fucked on a call at the end of the game, and it was had no challenges, couldn't do anything about it. It was just another brutal end to the game. Two games in the last weekend, almost the exact same way, where, what it was Tom Thibodeau tried to challenge it and didn't get off the challenge in time, so they didn't let him challenge it, and it was like clearly a call that was going the Knicks' ways, at least to me. And then they called an off-ball foul at Julius Randle away from the play at the end of the game, which just changed the course of the entire game. But anyway, Knicks have gotten fucked on a few games. I'm still really happy with how the Knicks have looked all year. Julius Randle's looked incredible. I have to eat my words on him incredibly, or to a huge degree. And what we said yesterday actually, we were talking about the Rookie of the Year thing.
Yep.
I didn't even bring up Haliburton. I think, and this is no disrespect to Quickley, I love Emmanuel Quickley. The reason I don't have Quickley as high is not anything of his fault. It is just the Knicks roster and Tom Thibodeau and think he's not going to get the opportunity. But I think Haliburton, as of right now, you could argue is a better fit for Rookie of the Year than Anthony Edwards. I don't know why.
Yeah, you had some strong words for Anthony Edwards this morning, huh?
Yeah, that was annoying. Anthony Edwards killed me in a DraftKings last night. Nutted the other seven positions.
I did want to ask you about him though, because I saw Kendrick Perkins have a tweet where it was Minnesota can trade everyone and build around Anthony Edwards. Like, do you agree with that? Like, is Anthony Edwards a main piece to build around?
I don't know, but I agree.
I feel like you've said it a couple times though. That exact
I think it
take.
Would be a good idea to do it. It's like what else is working if you're the Timberwolves right now? Like, you're not – I like Karl Anthony Towns. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a way better player right now than Anthony Edwards. But, like, you've been trying to build around him for a few years. You haven't done a very good job of it, but it hasn't worked also. So, sure, I'd get whatever I could get for him and build around Anthony Edwards. I'm not saying Anthony Edwards is going to be the best player on a championship team, but, like, give it a shot. The dude's got some talent. I just think for Rookie of the Year as of right now, Anthony Edwards will still probably get it. But Haliburton's been a better player all year. I think you could put Haliburton on any team right now, and he could help that team win games, like playing good defense, playmaking a little bit, shooting a little bit. He's got an ugly shot, but it goes in. If you put Anthony Edwards on any team right now, he is not helping them win games. He is a high-volume scorer, where if you put him on a good team where he can't have the ball in his hands a bunch, he would be hurting them more than helping them. So I think Haliburton's the better player. He just might not get it because Anthony Edwards is going to put up such crazy, not efficient, just crazy numbers getting all the usage from Minnesota.
All right, so I've been meaning to ask you this NBA topic for like 2 weeks now, and I just keep forgetting it. I'm not forgetting it today. And then I got two NFL topics real quick, and then I'll let you go. Much love for always coming through. All right, so I saw this. My guy Jay Williams talking about it, which I think this is a good list, which is best active NBA players, 30 and older, who never won a title, you want to see win a title. And so here's the thing. This is why I think this is interesting, though, because I think this list could either be, like, players you want to see most do so or players you need to most do so. Because I think James Harden needs to win a championship, number one, but I wouldn't have him as number one as the guys that I want to see win a ring. Like, you get my point?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
My list, I'm going with guys I want to see win a ring over 30, but I do want to state the fact that I think James Harden needs a ring as guys over 30. Number one player, without a doubt. But my list, Russell Westbrook, number one, without a doubt, even though it's tough to see what's going on with them and the Wizards right now, he's still balling out, and I would love to see that man win a championship. I'd have Damian Lillard, second, Chris Paul, third, Carmelo Anthony, fourth, Jimmy Butler, fifth. I don't even have James Harden on my list, but I love to see all those players win a championship. I don't think that's realistic. Like, that's not going to be realistic. So you go and check out some of those guys that are 30 and over trying to get a ring. Not all of them are. And they can team up all they want, like James Harden's trying to do. In my opinion, it might be tough for them to win particularly this year, I've been on the record. And then you go and see what happens next season. I mean, that's a whole season away, man. You have no idea. So it'll be interesting to see how these players that haven't gotten a ring, that very well should get a ring at some point, see if they actually do and which players those actually are. I just wanted to give you a chance to comment on that topic because I think that's a real good one, bro. That's a legit yeah. one that we can definitely get back at some other time as well, I think.
So I got Melo number one for sure. I don't even need to explain much about that. That's my favorite player, so he's the one I'd want to see win a ring. Number two, probably Jimmy Butler. I've always been a big Jimmy Butler fan. I think he unfairly got hated on when the dude was just trying to win in a few places and people were acting like he was a cancer to teams when he was just literally trying to do everything he could and didn't feel the rest of the team was. So he got close last year, and I'd say if it's needs to win a ring, I don't think Jimmy Butler needs to win a ring as bad as some others, because getting the Heat to the championship last year.
Yeah, like, who's number one? Who's your number one needs to win a ring? Because that's interesting.
Needs to is James Harden probably, because he's gonna get bashed without it. I'd say Chris Paul, but at the end of the day, Chris Paul is like the point god either way. Like, people view him as like one of the best point guards of all time. Chris Paul's getting a ring might boost his legacy more than anyone else. But James Harden, like, needs it not to get trashed. Chris Paul isn't going to get trashed as much. But in reality, if you're asking me, maybe I'm biased because I like James Harden. James Harden's proven he could take a team a little farther as the guy than Chris Paul. That's also not Chris Paul's games. Chris Paul's a facilitator, not a main scorer. So it's comparing apples to oranges. I'm not going to get into that. So James Harden was going to be my third for wants to. Chris Paul would be my fourth. And fifth, is this going to be your exact five? Did I take your exact five?
Hell no, you definitely did not. Harden was not my five, and you're not even going to have Russ in your five?
That's tough. I'm saying Lillard. Oh my God. It's not a knock on Russ. It's just like,
you're fucking.
I guess he'd be in the sixth spot. Now I'm questioning it. All right, I take it back. I'm taking Chris Paul out, and I'll put Russ in because I think Chris Paul is going to be fine either way. I've never been like the biggest Chris Paul fan, even though I like him. Russ, the same argument as Jimmy Butler. Like, I mean, obviously he didn't just take a team to the finals, but the same argument. Like, he just puts it all out there. You like
Russell Westbrook? Yeah. Let me tell you something about Russell Westbrook. From 2010 to 2020, he averaged 25 points per game, 7.6 rebounds per game, 8.7 assists per game, 144 triple doubles, 9-time All-Star, 9-time All-NBA, 2-time scoring champ, 2-time assist champ, 1 MVP. Like, the only reason this man is hated on is because he doesn't have a ring. Like, if he had a ring, he would not get hated on, and this dude balls out every single night. I cannot stand that people hate on this man. He's on the Wizards right now.
I'll change my answer. I think he may need one more than Harden because I think it would boost his legacy even more and, like, shut some people up about him.
However, I disagree with that completely because Russ plays both ends of the floor and did just as much as Harden through that 10-year span that I just mentioned as not a primary scorer. Like, dude, like, that's pretty damn good numbers comparable. Let's go check up Harden's numbers. Through those years, I've had him.
We don't have to get into that right now, but the flip side of that is when he had Kevin Durant, and the second he didn't have Kevin Durant, he wasn't able to contribute towards the team success.
Not true, though, because he carried a team. He carried a team.
They missed the playoffs some years. They were a six seed at best without Kevin Durant. Like, he just wasn't able to get the team to the same success as James Harden was. He put up incredible numbers. I'm not saying he was a bad player. I'm just saying I think James Harden gets hated on to an absurd degree, but James Harden stayed at that peak a little bit longer than Russell Westbrook has. Russell Westbrook started a little bit earlier, but it was with Durant. James Harden has, like, led a team at his peak for longer than Russell Westbrook has. And Russell Westbrook, as you say a million times, I'm not knocking him, like, gets hated on a bunch by everyone. I just think a ring would boost his legacy maybe even more because James Harden, as the guy on his team, got some teams to the conference finals. Russell Westbrook got to the finals, got to a conference finals, but with Kevin Durant on the team. I just think it was boost his legacy more. I'm genuinely not saying it is a knock on Russ, but I think it's very close. Russ and James Harden would be the two where a ring would put them in a different conversation, Chris Paul too, than they're currently in. Chris Paul will be more okay without it because he's just viewed as the point god, like there's the prototypical point guard. But James Harden and Russ are both right there for who his legacy would be boosted the most.
Good conversation there. Respect that. Let's get into these NFL topics, and I'll let you bounce. I opened up my pod today. Giants got Adoree Jackson. You were here, I think, maybe when I covered it yesterday. We got Kenny Galladay. We made a bunch of other moves. I covered off the top. I'm not going through again. But here's my take on it, bro. I would argue maybe number one, honestly, this offseason in free agency, the Giants. But clearly top three or five. You go look around the rest of the league. I think what the Patriots did, maybe number two. And you know how much I hate the Patriots. But they made a lot of money moves. And if they're going to win games, that's how you got to do it, man. You're going to say you're overpaying. Well, we're overpaying for guys to see if Daniel Jones is our guy. And the Patriots are overpaying to see if Cam Newton can win games to get them to the playoffs. And if not, they're going to probably potentially draft a replacement going forward. We'll see if they can hit on it. I think those two would be 1-2. You go look around the rest of the league. I think a lot of people would say the Cardinals with getting A.J. Green, J.J. Watt, who talked about the other day. I'm not as much as high on the Cardinals. I think that's a tough division. I think some of those moves are a little bit, we're trying to think of older times with those guys that you're not going to get. And so I wouldn't have them up as high, even though they have made a good amount of moves, the Arizona Cardinals. I think the New York Jets, I would argue the New York Jets number three. And them having the number two pick factors into this as well. Because regardless of what they do with that, that's clearly value. And then going forward, they've made some moves and addressing things that they need to in the draft. Clearly with that number two pick could be essential. Are you on my side with the Giants having one of the best off seasons in the NFL? Or am I just blowing smoke because it's my team?
I'll ask you a question because in all honesty, it's college basketball, it's NBA going on right now. It's just a busy time of year. I haven't had my focus as much on the NFL. I've seen a lot of the skill position guys. My knowledge has not been as high on the like O-line or defensive signings. So like I can't speak as much to that. Let me ask you this. I saw a few tweets making fun of the Giants for like at B&A. I sent one of them in the in the group chat right after being like a sports car or fancy sports car without any wheels, yep. Basically saying they have all these great skill position guys, but no O-line to block for them, not a good defense, whatever. I don't have a take, but what would your response to that be?
Not a good defense. Here's my response on that. In 2019, we are 30th in points allowed. Let me finish out.
Not a good defense.
In 2020, ninth in points allowed. Our defense was underrated last year. The only reason we won six games, in my opinion, was because of our defense. We lost Saquon Barkley. Daniel Jones was hurt. And other than that, we had a backup in there, and we are mixing up a new coaching staff. This year, we bring in all types of weapons for Daniel Jones. And I get it. We're going to address the offensive line, no doubt about it. We're getting Nate Solder back, who opted out last season of COVID. We're getting Andrew Thomas, the second year, who we drafted number four overall. I get some people aren't as high as him, but give him some time. You got to give these young players some time. That's something Chewy taught me. I'm telling you right now, when I look around the rest of this division, the Giants look like they're making the best moves, the most stable moves, in a division that is tend to be unstable. And here's my thing. Daniel Jones has the chance to blossom now with more weapons like we saw out of a Josh Allen getting Stephon Diggs. Like we've seen out of trying to get Kyler Murray some more weapons. Like the Giants are doing the right things here. And I think that matters. I think that matters as much as I'm a fan of this team. It might come across as biased. Bro, I've been saying this last year. We just didn't have enough weapons and Daniel Jones got hurt. Like our team on defense last year, in my opinion, was a top 10 defense. We have the chance, in my opinion, to be better than that this year with a top five secondary after the addition of Adoree Jackson, not just a one-year deal, a three-year deal, like locking up Leonard Williams for 3 years. Like, this is something that's not just a one-year thing now. We're building a new culture under Joe Judge, second-year head coach. Like, this is good stuff as a Giants fan, not just trying to be biased. Like, this is finally, after 5 years of watching my team 4 years prior not be good at all, this is finally things you want to see as a fan.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have said the defense. It was more about the O-line and, like, the other pieces on the offense. But I hear you. That's a fair response. I think the in response to the Cardinals thing, I mean, I'll be rooting for the Cardinals heavy. Like, in my time watching the NFL, my two favorite receivers have been A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins. But, like, A.J. Green's a little washed right now, I think. I don't know how huge of a move that is. Like, he was maybe he was definitely at least number three on the depth chart.
I had the stat yesterday. He was a Pro Bowler for 7 straight seasons. And then he just fell off the map the last 2. A lot of injuries, but like,
well, he was hurt the last like 2 years, I think, prior to this year. And then this year came back, and he was at least 3 on their depth chart behind Boyd and Higgins there. Maybe 4 if I'm forgetting a name or something like that. I don't think John Ross played much. He's on your Giants now, right?
John Ross, yeah.
Yeah, he's a video game Madden guy with like the 98 speed that just runs along. Yep. Route. You can get him every time.
Stretch the field.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like your Giants signings. I'll be rooting for the Cardinals this year. I'd like to see them do well, but I don't disagree with your take. They're in a tough division. I don't think these moves necessarily mean like they had the best offseason or they're like a favorite in the division or anything, but I think they're going to be a, without a doubt, more exciting team. They'll be one of my favorite teams to watch.
No love for the Jets. Corey Davis, Carl Larson, Jared Davis, Sheldon Rankins. Also saw that they picked up Keenan Cole Sr. I mean, they got the number 2 overall pick.
I mean, hey, hopefully their best case scenario is they're gonna pull in New York Knicks and like slowly start to like really impress people or something like that. None of the names you said to me sound like, oh wow, the Jets are gonna be a problem this year, but like they're like the Knicks in past years. They have low expectations. Like you literally just wanna see improvements. Like just show me you could win 5 or 6 games and just look like a competitive team all year. So yeah, I think that's a – they're sounding better than past years at the very least, but we've also heard that story before.
True. All right, I'll get you out of here on this because I asked you this plenty of times because this was the biggest offseason quarterback carousel story was if Deshaun Watson was going to get traded. I don't know how much you've been keeping up with this Deshaun Watson stuff.
Yeah.
Not great. Not great. You know, I saw that he had one of these come up like a week ago. And I had a pod, and I'm like, all right, like, let's see, you know, this dude's getting 40. This dude makes $40 million a year. Like, give the dude the benefit of the doubt, clean, you know, never had anything, no issues off the field, you know, great, great person for the community, all the fans and aboves. I get it. He's demanding a trade, and it's kind of weird how he's doing so, but give the man his benefit of the doubt. Bro, you can't give a dude a benefit of the doubt when a day later, you got 4, and 2 days later, there's 13. As of right now, 13, apparently 22 that are willing to come forward. I mean, this is real bad. With a sexual assault one back in March 2021, I was on the record saying he was going to have to sit out going back to the demanding of the trade. Now, I think he's going to be suspended. This man's going to get suspended in the midst of demanding a trade, and this might be one of the craziest things ever that the Houston Texans new head coach David Culley talked about. Steven Silas coming into a dumpster fire. Man, this dude David Culley is coming into something lit up on fire. Like, this is ridiculous.
I'll touch on the Deshaun Watson thing, but the only kind of like bright spot as a coach to coming into a thing like this is kind of like Brett Brown coming into the Sixers. If the team is not a piece of shit, you're going to have a long period of time to prove yourself because of how long they fucked you. Like Brett Brown was not a great NBA coach. He wouldn't have lasted that long if they didn't put him through some shit at the beginning. It was basically like, all right, we fucked you over. Let's give you a shot. I think the same thing will happen to Steven Silas. I'd imagine the same thing will happen with the Texans where it's like, hey man, like we know we're not going to win this year or next year probably. Like, so you're almost like buying yourself a few years to build something. So you could argue it's like a spot to like where you're not worried about losing your job right away because you're not set up for success. But yeah, I haven't been looking at like the actual reports that I'm watching stuff. I've seen like the ESPN updates and stuff like that coming through. I saw a good tweet on it the other day, and granted, it's looking worse for Deshaun Watson than it was since then. I think this tweet was maybe like 1 or 2 allegations in, because initially, I don't know if this is still the case, the owner of the Texans' attorney was the guy like representing all the people suing Deshaun Watson. So people are saying at first like it was basically like them running a smear campaign because of all the shit Deshaun Watson did, like trying to fuck him over for trying to get out of there. Once 14 come out, it's doesn't look as much like that. It starts to look like you're a little bit, a lot of it in the wrong right here. But I saw a good tweet the other day going like, this is really scary on both fronts. Either if these are fake allegations by the Texans, it's really scary, like the lengths an organization will go to like destroy or like suppress someone's voice.
Yep.
Or number 2, it's incredibly scary if these are all true, how we could all think someone's like the best dude, stand-up guy, like one of the most class acts in the league, and he's just like an absolute serial rapist. So like, pretty crazy on either front. Unfortunately, it's looking like it's leaning towards number two. Like, I like Deshaun Watson, like really thought he was a good player, but
yeah,
I
bro.
I mean, you gotta hope it's not true, but I don't see how that could really be the case when we're on number whatever you said we're on right now.
Yeah, not good, bro. When you got the Texans just picking up running backs out the yin yang, David Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram, Dontrell Hilliard. I mean, bro, they're gonna be having a scrub in there, and the plays are gonna be HK style, drop back and just hand it off to the running back every single time. Like, if Deshaun Watson ain't gonna be around, definitely at Houston. I don't think he's going to be around anywhere this season.
Tyrod Taylor, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I think they got Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, which is, you're going to need somebody, bro.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. Like, dude, oh, man. God. There's a few Texas sports teams. What was it? Like, I'm sure you've seen the image, too. Like, tough year to be a Texas fan. Like, in the last 2 years, you've lost, like, Chris Paul, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Kawhi Leonard, like, just going down. That's not Houston, but that's yeah. Texas still. Like, going down a list of dudes. I think there were some guys in baseball or the Astros dynasty. I don't know how they're doing. I don't follow baseball as much, but they had a little collapse with the cheating scandal. So,
yeah,
tough few years in Houston.
Not great. Not great to be a Houston fan, sports fan. All right, brother. That's all I had. Besides,
so close too. Like all stuff. Those Houston teams, like 2 years ago, it's you're looking at them like, oh man, the Rockets are the team that could beat the Warriors, and like rightfully so, they were on giving them a run. Like, oh man, the Texans are that best up and coming thing. Like Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, oh god,
yeah, for real,
it's just all gone.
Yeah, it's. It's real sad. It's crazy how fast things can change, not only for your sports team, but just for your regular life.
I don't
life.
Even know, like, with all the things, like, Tyreek Hill's done some shit, Kareem Hunt's done some shit, people, and, like, the Ray Rice shit. Like, I don't know. Everyone's shit results for them, it seems like, getting another shot, or if it's really bad. I don't think Ray Rice has got another shot, but, like, I don't know. Like, depending on how bad this is, like, could his career be over if he's raped 20 women? Like, I don't know. That seems like grounds for
jail time. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see how that's not ground. Part of me just feels like the way sports are, he's still going to end up playing, but that certainly seems like grounds to like not play in the NFL again.
I agree.
Flip side of it. And it's not me arguing he should, he definitely shouldn't. If he raped 20 people, he should be in fucking jail, not in the NFL.
Yeah.
But the flip side is always like, When the talent's this high, it seems like it finds a way for dudes to get another shot. And I mean, like, Kareem Hunt's a good player and all, but Deshaun Watson's on another level from those dudes. Like, I almost find it hard to believe he's not going to get another shot, even though I don't think he deserves one if it's all true.
Yeah, this is where it's interesting for me, because Kareem Hunt and Deshaun Watson, two different situations.
Yeah,
realistically,
very different.
It kind of goes back to, I saw this, and I never really brought this up with you, just going into the NBA, I think you might have been, maybe it wasn't you that day, but the whole thing that happened with Myles Leonard, within a 24-hour span of him getting caught from FaZe, banned by Twitch, dropped by Scuff, suspended for a week, $50,000 fine for what happened to him.
Traded.
And he got traded to OKC, my team. And I'm like, bro, what is the deal? But here's the thing, OKC's like, we're not playing him, we're not keeping him. Like, is he going to get another shot? Like,
no.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think he deserves to be able to play.
His thing is, he's not good enough.
Like, yeah, so that's my whole point. Why are we trading for him, bro? That's crazy. As a fan of that team.
No,
even if you're saying you're not going to play him, bro.
No,
like, getting another shot.
They got a second round pick in the deal. He was just a salary filler, and they dropped him. They never had him on the team. They're like, sure, we'll take him. Drop, see you later. Bye, buddy. His thing, and I'm not defending what Myers Leonard did. What Myers Leonard did is a trillion times more innocent than, like, 20 rape allegations. That is a way different story. The difference is...
Yes, but hey, brother, this is my point on that. I agree.
Player.
That's my point, though. That's my point. We're talking about talent recognizing the crime.
Yeah.
I'm more saying, if you're an athlete and you do something along these lines, it shouldn't matter the talent. It should not matter the talent.
Well, I agree.
If Myles Leonard can't play because he did something like that, something we've probably done before, even though that is so blatantly fucked up, you shouldn't be allowed to play in the NBA for it. You're not going as long as Deshaun Watson, who probably going to get another shot in the NFL. That's crazy to me. That's what I'm talking about.
Let me compare it to this. Your status matters. Do you remember during the start of the quarantine, maybe not the start of the quarantine, but during training camps, I think it was a dude from the Seahawks got cut for bringing a girl back to like his room or something, and he was an undrafted dude and like totally lost his shot, got cut from the team. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Okay. So Daniel House did the same exact thing in the NBA bubble, which is a bigger bubble, like was a way bigger deal than just like a training camp facility. And he still has a job. Why? Because he was a semi-established NBA player, and the other dude was like a walk-on undrafted dude that they were given a shot. Like, your status matters in these things. I'm not saying it shouldn't, and those two things are very different than committing, like, police, like, felony crimes like we're talking about here. But, like, your status matters in these things. Like, why would a team take the risk of bad publicity to have a 10th man of Myers Leonard? Like, no, we could find another 10th man for our team. But a team may take the risk of bad publicity if they're even allowed to on Deshaun Watson because he's a franchise-changing quarterback. It's all just risk versus reward.
Rich,
I don't
this
think
is,
he should get another shot.
This is my problem, though, and I appreciate your response, but this is my problem with it. Like, I'll bring it into this. You got a pretty good job. You got a pretty good lifestyle and all the things going on for you. If you did any of those things that we just talked about, how would that go for you? Not great, but just because you're not a professional athlete, bro, you're just potentially as good of a person who hasn't done anything wrong, who hasn't done anything wrong with all these great things. You make one mistake and your life is ruined, cancel culture, because you're not a professional athlete, but your talent at what you do could be just as good. Like, to me, it shouldn't matter your status. You're talking about status of a professional athlete now, and to me, that's crazy, where you get above all the laws and rules of regulations, DUI, and all this shit.
Let me fix your example, though, because in your situation, I'm Myers Leonard. I'm the dude down here on the fucking totem pole that's replaceable, because I'm a lower-level worker to Indeed my company. If the chief revenue officer, chief financial officer, CFO of Indeed did something like that, he would probably get another shot because he's way up there and he's a more valuable commodity. Me, it's like, dude, you can't be fucking up. You're a lower level employee. Like, you're like one of the dudes on the ground level compared to us. I'm the Myers Leonard level. Like, if someone important at Indeed did something like
that. I'd also argue this. In situations like that, you might not even find out about the you and me's. Like, if you and me did something like that at our job and got fired for it, which we would, you probably wouldn't find out. It'd be like, oh, like, we had to let him go. Happened to our CEO or my boss, you'd find out about it. Like, it's different based on the status of it, right? So, you'd still get fired. Maybe you'd get another chance, but you'd still get fired and everyone know about it. You might not even know about it. That, to me, is the unfair aspect of this.
I'll just finish saying this. I agree with everything you're saying. I think what you're saying is, like, right, in an ideal world, the way things should be. Like, I totally agree with that. I'm just saying, like, anything, if it's in an institution that makes money, they're always going to look at it as risk versus reward. Not just like, oh, he's a bad person, we can't sign him. It's like, wait, if only, like, 10% of our fans will be mad that we signed Deshaun Watson and he can bring us to a Super Bowl, like, maybe it's worth the risk. I'm not arguing any team should do that. I'm just saying how teams are going to think, how they're going to think, I believe, down the line. I love the Vince Carter shirt.
By the way, I'm not saying that you are arguing against me or disagreeing with me, but what I am saying is this picture that I'm showing you on my shirt right now is that slam dunk I just gave you on that take. Yeah, no, great shirt. This is a great shirt. I got this off, yeah, 500 level, Honey Dipper dunk.
He said after he did that, his arm was, like, swollen for a week and all fucked up.
Yeah, for real. No, that was great. Great conversations today for sure, and always love having you on. Respect having
you on. The only reason, let me ask you, before we go, let me ask you this, though, because I haven't watched much ESPN. Are people talking about his career being over? The only reason I'm doubting that his career is over is because I feel like I haven't heard people talking about his career being over. Are they? Are people talking about that?
No, but the reason why they're not is because we don't know enough yet. And This dude, this is
like 20 rape allegations is a lot.
Yeah, but this is the thing, bro. This is exactly the problem we have here. This is what we just talked about, and I'll explain it to you like this. If Deshaun Watson goes to court and settles or gets away with this, not any criminal charges, whatever it is, he will get his other shot. Vice versa. Yeah. If he doesn't win and he loses in court, there's going to be teams that may be worrying on him that are out on him. So you have teams that are waiting to see how this goes out. The problem is a lot of teams want to...
If he loses in court, doesn't that mean he's guilty on 20 accounts of rape? Doesn't that mean he's like going to fucking jail?
Yeah, but dude, that's the thing. That none of the... Like, dude, there's only one of them that I saw that was technically criminal sexual assault charges.
Okay.
That, so which, by the way, he could get that beat. I don't know. I don't know how any of this stuff works, how long this takes, but all I know is he needed to get traded for a lot of reporters by the draft, which is coming up on 5 weeks away. I don't think 20 of these are going to get done by 5 weeks. So the way I see this is just getting stalled and jammed up for Deshaun Watson, who needed to get traded before any of this news came out. Like, it sounds messed up, but like, he didn't. So now he's not going to get traded anytime soon, and he's probably going to get suspended by the NFL. Like, it's different though because of his status. That's my whole point. Like, he's so good that if he gets, he's got the best attorney in the nation, I heard. So if he somehow gets this stuff knocked off to a slap on the wrist, like a lot of these athletes do, like if that happened to you, bro, would you get a slap on the wrist? Would I get a slap on the wrist if I had 20 rape allegation charges from a masseuse? Like, I don't care how good of a professional golfer I am or how good of a Indeed worker you are. You're not going to be able to keep your job on that. That's my whole problem, though. That's my whole problem because I'm a good person. So, like, if Deshaun Watson is a good person and does that, like, does that make you a good person? Probably not. But, like, Deshaun Watson, hold on a second. Hold on. That's why it's messed up, though, because he's done a lot of good things. So, like, that, like, he's in the limelight for being this good person.
No.
Hold on. Before all this came up. You're misunderstanding my point. Before all this came up. Like, Deshaun Watson has been known as this, you know, very good teammate. This good person in the community.
Yeah, but
incredible at Clemson.
In the process.
Exactly. It's just because you now found out about it that it's become... Whoa, oh shit, like he's probably not a good person.
That. He was a bad person the entire time. We just found out that he was a bad person the entire time.
But
he was a bad person the entire time. We just didn't know it.
Here we go. Let me ask you the most important question, because this is a good point. This is why I bring you along. You make a good point. If Deshaun Watson goes to court and whatever, settles, does whatever, serves his suspension like Kareem Hunt, we'll probably have one. Comes back to an NFL team, is he still a bad person?
I feel like I can't answer that with the information I have. Like, I have no idea what it was. Like, if it was, like, one person and she accused him of, like, getting, like, touchy-feely and that was it, like, I don't know. That's, like, not good, but, like, maybe not a bad person. If it's, like, multiple accounts, like, I don't know. I literally know none of the details. I feel like I can't answer that question.
Exactly, though. I respect that, but that's my whole thing. When I saw it too, and I saw one of them, I'm like, all right, like if this dude did this, like, all right, like, well, he'll settle and get to play again and like benefit of the doubt. Maybe this isn't true. Maybe this girl's trying to get him for some money. When you go from 1 to 22, like, that's not good. So now my point is, if he ever plays again,
one person, you're a bad person. It doesn't matter if it's two or three or four. Like, yeah, I guess it's even more of a problem, but like, you're a bad person.
All right. Stop it. You need to get off the pod, go search up Deshaun Watson, because I don't think he's technically raped anybody. Like, stop saying that he's raped anyone, because he didn't rape anybody.
I literally said at the beginning, I don't have the information. You used the word rape multiple times. Is that not what it is? Is that not the cases that have been filed against him right now?
Technically, no rape charges, no.
Then what are the cases? Oh, my bad. Wow.
Yeah, like...
What are the charges? I thought that's what it was.
There's one charge of sexual assault. All the civil assaults are consistent with him doing some really creepy shit, which is targeting single moms that are masseuses... Bringing him to
like a weird dude. Yeah, I don't know. Like, okay, yeah, he didn't rape anyone. He seems like a weird dude.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know. We'll link up in probably like a week or two. Who knows how long it is? But hopefully by next time we link up.
Let me give you my honest answer to all of this, and let me put it this way. Oh, what, no matter God. What he did, I'm not going to read the report because I don't fucking care about Deshaun Watson. I think he's cool to watch when I don't think he's a piece of shit. But, like, I'm not idolizing this dude. I'll put it to you this way. If Carmelo Anthony did some shit, like, a dude, like, I truly, like, love watching and have loved my whole life, I would, like, look at the report and be like, hold up, let me look if I think this guy is an absolute piece of shit now. I'm going to be honest. Not that I don't care. Like, he's probably a terrible person if he did these things. It's just, like, I don't idolize Deshaun Watson in any way. I'm just, in all honesty, probably not going to look at the report either way. And if it comes back he's guilty, I'll probably be like, oh, yeah, he's probably a shitty dude, but... I don't know. I'm not some dude that's going to be, like, on Twitter or something. Like, oh, fuck this guy. Or, like, oh, my God, he didn't do anything. Like, honestly, I don't care. Unless it's an athlete I really like. I'm not saying I don't care. Like, oh, they should just get a shot. It's fine. Like, no, like, I don't give a shit what happens to them. Unless it's someone I'm like, oh, I really like that guy.
I get that. That's funny, though. That was funny.
There's a few athletes where I'm like, hey, I like, respect that guy and, like, really like that guy where I'd be like, hold up, what happened here? Deshaun Watson, I'll probably just be like, oh, I guess he's not a good dude.
Yeah, not really looking like a good dude. Good football player, but not necessarily a good dude. That was good. Always keying it up on the way out.
Yeah, my bad. Guess I probably shouldn't have said the word rape multiple times. If Deshaun Watson's listening to the pod, that's my bad, dude.
Then again, though, like, this could be, it could be, because we're still waiting to see.
Don't do that. Don't, like, speculate. I already was bad enough with it.
Hey, we haven't gotten canceled yet, so we'll keep it going. We'll keep it going for as long as we can. Who knows? We might get canceled soon. Much love, always catching up, brother. A lot going on in the sports world. Stay tuned to the NBA trades, and I'll try and hit you up, try and link up as soon as possible.
For sure. Good talking, man. See you later.
All right, peace, bro.
Peace.
Rich. I got to get out of there on this funny recording because you got NFL draft coming up, pro days, and I think this is All Time by Mel Kiper.
I understand it's a tough coach, right? Lance is an enormous talent. I get that. But also, so is Justin Fields, both great dual threat quarterbacks. Let's talk about another talent that I've seen fluctuate a little bit in the draft. You actually have him falling to number 15 to the Patriots, Mac Jones. What do you need to see from his pro day to secure to you in your mind, Mel, that he is going to be that next system quarterback for Bill Belichick? Jay, nothing. I won't watch it. And I could care less.
Yes! I love it, man!
Yeah, pro days to me, and I'll give you some evidence to justify a rant about pro days, okay?
Okay.
Jamarcus Russell, Corey Darren, Todd McShay, my good friend Todd, had the best pro day ever, right? Peyton Manning may have had the worst pro day ever. Bouncing passes, wobbly balls, GMs rolling her eyes because it was Peyton Jones, not Peyton Manning, it'd be a third round pick. I've heard all this garbage and nonsense for 43 years now, so I learned after all that to say, really, pro days? Teddy Bridgewater, should he wear the glove? Did he wear a glove? Should the glove have worn? What's that with the glove? Do you remember all that stuff? Teddy Bridgewater turned out to be a pretty good quarterback, right? Not great, but pretty good. A lot better than people thought, but he said, after pro day, what's the deal here? So, to me, guys, no, I don't like pro days. 40 times vertical jumps. Tom Brady had a 5.24 40 and a 24 vertical with the late sixth round because of that. And people are saying now you can't win as a pocket guy. Or people say, hey, as a defensive player, I'd much rather face the pocket guy than the dual threat. Would you rather face Tom Brady or Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, you got me. Come on.
Or pocket guys, dinosaurs. Was a 43-year-old Tom Brady a dinosaur? He just won a freaking Super Bowl.
Oh, that is epic. I think it's almost as epic as mock drafts coming out because can't read too much into those, and Mel Kiper does those as well. Saw Najee Harris, running back for Alabama. His flight from Dallas, Birmingham, was canceled last night due to lightning, so with no other travel options available, he drove 9 hours to make it to Alabama's pro day, my 10 a.m. today. He's not even working out, but he wanted to be there in support of his teammates. Interesting stuff by Najee Harris. Interesting sports world. A lot going on. Conversations seem to be endless. And really enjoyed catching up with Rich today. Really enjoying the warmer weather.
Got out for a nice walk with Callie this morning. Looking forward to letting her out here after finishing up the pod. Only 1 o'clock. Enjoying the rest of my day off. Back-to-back days off. How it's been working. At least for this month, which this month is almost over. Already March 23rd. Already almost into April 2021. Absolutely wild. Saw a post the other day by someone from high school talking about how fast time's going by. I've been saying that for a minute. Time just keeps zipping on by, not only in the sports world, but in the everyday world. Just trying to keep it going, keep not only the sports conversations alive with some of my friends and people supporting the the podcast, doing it solo. People supporting Shayna's giveaway, which she sent me during the pod, was won by, let's see, Janelle Castillo, which I have no idea who that is, but congratulations for winning the giveaway from the Bree Rally Foundation, in which we did teamed up with Shane in doing so. Shout out to Janelle. Real good giveaway from the Bree Rally Foundation, Shayna Mae Rally, and all the work she's doing. Looking forward to linking up with her again at some point. Obviously, linking up today with Rich. Always love, much love doing that. Enjoying the sports talk there. Shouting out some people in the process. And looking forward to catching up in the podcast world, sports world. By the end of the week, heading back to work. Won't be covering the pods nearly as much. Hopefully, get back in for a little solo burst here and there for Musty. Otherwise, try and get back here next week. Lot to go on the rest of this week. NBA trade deadline. NFL free agency continues. Obviously, you have NBA games, March Madness, Sweet 16 starting up this weekend. And we'll be waiting, us golf fans, for the Masters. Just about 3 weeks away. That's all I have for the AWFs today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, still have no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody, peace and love. Stay safe out there. Stumbling out of my words because I want to get out of here. You're listening to Seggy Station.